Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation. Annex Wealth Management is a local fee-only fiduciary providing investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. Know the difference. Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Negative energy prices, global power plays, and markets caught in the middle. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Great to have you here. I'm Joe Krause, Chief Economic Strategist. Dr. Brian Jacobson is here. Hey, Brian.
Hey, it's great to be here.
And CEO of Annex, Dave Spano.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, that's exactly right, Joe. Good setup. The fact that the markets are caught in the middle of this geopolitical risk continues on. Now, Thursday night, President Trump extended the opportunity for peace, right? And the Pakistanis are trying to at least use back channels to try to negotiate that. Everybody wants to see that, Brian.
Yep.
And we're going to see how that progresses throughout this weekend and into next week. But there's a lot of things that we're watching very closely because the president does look at the equities markets and we look at the fixed income markets.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those are worth paying attention to right now.
Yeah, I think it was Jim Carville, who is the political strategist for, I believe, Bill Clinton, where he said that, like, if he died and could come back to life, he would come back as the bond market because everybody fears the bond market.
That's funny.
and it's so important as far as what's going on with interest rates, yields in the fixed income market. It affects borrowing costs for households, but also for the government, right? I mean, the federal government right now, I think one out of every $5 that they bring in goes to service the debt, you know, pay the interest cost on there. But it seems like President Trump is very aware of when you have the equity markets going down. We had the NASDAQ drop. People called it a correction, so a decline of 10% from its previous peak. That's been down. We see gas prices at the pump going up. We also see those bond yields moving higher. I think a lot of this, the president does see it, recognizes that people are nervous about the outlook. And so I think he kind of wants to see, what is the off-ramp? There is a clear objective that he has. He has talked about it as far as basically disabling Iran's ability.
Well, the 15-point plan. So now they've enumerated it and delivered it as well. I don't know if that's going to change much, but at least they've given the plan up.
They have, And so Iran has obviously pushed back on some of it, and we'll have to see. This is part of the negotiation, and we are not privileged to know what's going on behind those closed doors. I thought it was really interesting how Vice President Vance is now seems to be taking lead with some of the negotiations, because he does have a history of saying, look, I do not want these prolonged foreign wars. You know, he served in Iraq. He has gone on record saying that, you know, they can intervene, but he doesn't want it to be like open-ended. So in my mind, a lot of the market volatility that we're seeing, it's difficult to say, but more of speed bump as opposed to a change in the actual road.
Yeah, I agree that it probably is a speed bump. We hope it's a speed bump, but we said long before that this action happened, you know, when we saw that the aircraft carriers were moving into the area, that this was very likely that it's going to be from a geopolitical disruption to an economic disruption. And that's what happened. And the disruption, of course, is the Iranians are using the Straits of Hormuz as the lever that they have. Now, if that lever gets taken away, things could change. Now, my concern with it is these short-term bumps could turn into long-term issues. In other words, fertilizer. Let's just pick on that for a second. If the farmers don't get the fertilizer and they don't get the plants, we're going to have food inflation at the end of the season. That's a concern.
Mm-hmm.
Secondarily, and we were finding this out, that everything revolves around transportation, not only here in the United States, which is less dependent on foreign oil, but around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so transportation costs to get your food, to get your products, those prices are going up. That causes inflation.
It does. And even think about like airfares, right? Those are likely to move higher because approximately
jet
like
fuel.
30% to one third of operating costs for those jets is the fuel. Some companies have hedged that exposure, meaning that they can kind of lock in the prices. But so many of them, because of how low oil prices were for a while, they didn't bother hedging. They're like, well, prices are low. Why do I want to kind of lock in a slightly higher price? Well, it's because of for reasons like this. And I find it very interesting how some other countries have almost learned the wrong lessons from history in terms of how what the policy response is likely should be in these situations. In a lot of Asian economies who are importing oil, especially from Iran, right, they are now rationing oil. So instead of allowing prices to adjust to do the rationing, they're resorting to saying that, okay, look, you know what? We're just going to give out a certain amount. You can only buy a certain quantity. That's what happened in the United States in the 1973 to 74 period of time. And that built up pressures. That created more problems. And so I think that in the United States, we've gone through something similar, not identical, and hopefully have learned the lessons from the past to not repeat them.
There's a lot I want to get to. And one of those things is you started off talking about the bond market.
Mm-hmm.
Let's explain to folks why that is interesting to us.
Yeah. So in terms of the market reaction, whenever there's a geopolitical event, just historically, geopolitical event, there's this flight to safety, some people call it, where it's like, oh, we want to buy safe perceived securities. And so it might be like treasury securities. Well, this is a little different because higher oil prices mean that people's inflation expectations have moved up. And that was reflected in the University of Michigan's consumer sentiment survey that came out on Friday. It showed that the expectations for year ahead inflation moved up to about 3.8%. Okay, long-term inflation expectations haven't really moved all that much. So it's like consumers are viewing this as more of like a temporary increase in inflation and then to simmer down a bit. But when you see that increase in inflation expectation, that typically affects the fixed income market. Plus, this is expensive, right? All those missiles that they're using, some of the estimated costs of this, some I've seen around $200 billion, that has to be financed somehow, right? And so I think you have the worries of increased issuance of debt, also the increase in inflation expectations, all conspiring to push those yields higher.
And when yields are higher, the expectations for easier monetary policy dissipate.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these cuts that we were talking about may be kicked down the road.
Yeah.
And that is something that we're going to have to watch. The VIX, the measure of fear, is up. But let me try to land the plane. We talked about higher fuel prices. Let's get that plane on the ground. There is a really good twist here, and that is that the earnings are expected to rise 15% mm-hmm. in 2026 versus 2025. So long-lasting trouble that we're trying to illuminate
yep.
might be, as you pointed out, just a speed bump along the way.
It could be, because those earnings expectations, and remember, as an investor, that's kind of what you're in for, is what are those earnings? What is the return to the shareholders? And companies have proved themselves through a number of shocks in the past that they can maintain their profit growth. The current expectation, according to FactSet, and even for Bloomberg, different data providers who survey a bunch of analysts, is that earnings are expected to continue to rise despite these problems. Now, individual companies, right, might struggle under the weight of these higher energy costs, but for the market as a whole, if it's a diversified portfolio, really, it's that trajectory of earnings, we think, that can help really guide the price of the stocks over the long term.
And most importantly, folks, if you're listening to this and you're saying, how does this affect my portfolio? We spend each and every day going through, is it right? What's in your portfolio? Why is it in your portfolio? How much you're paying for it? And that is something that you can get from us. We provide that on a daily basis, Joe.
Click that Get Started button at annexwealth.com. It's not just the button on our website. You can see all the things we do and watch what clients have to say about working with us. And if recent headlines are giving you some uncertainty, we can certainly show you how all this can affect your portfolio and how you can have a clear plan moving forward. It's a whole team in-house who has your best interest in mind on your side at Annex. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Custom-tailored investment and retirement planning from a field only fiduciary. Know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Well, tax refunds can feel like a welcome financial boost, especially when they come in a little larger than expected. But before deciding how to use that money, it helps to understand why refunds may differ from year to year and what options make sense for your situation. With a little planning, your refund can become a powerful tool for improving your financial health. So good thing we have financial planning specialist Rebecca Posig here. Thanks for being on the show again, Rebecca.
Hi, Joe.
So what is the trend with tax returns right now? And are refunds on the rise? Because it seems like we're hearing a lot about that.
Yes, we are generally seeing larger refunds for the 2025 tax year. Actually, CNBC recently took a look at some early IRS data and found that overall refunds are up 10 to 11% this year. Now, of course, it depends on each person's unique circumstances, but there's those more favorable tax provisions that got passed last year, and those are likely at play here. There's the no tax on tips. They reduce the tax on overtime. That half part of time and a half is no longer taxable. They raised the SALT, the state and local tax deduction. And there's that new senior deduction for those over 65 and under certain income levels. And all of that's largely the reason for these larger tax refunds.
Feels good to get a refund, but is it really a good thing?
It does feel good. It's fun to have that refund deposited in your account, but we know that getting a large refund isn't necessarily the most prudent thing. You've essentially given a loan to the government by paying in too much, and a refund is just them giving it back to you, but without any interest. It's fun, though. People enjoy getting a refund, myself included. And a lot of people even plan for it. They think about what they want to use it for months in advance.
April, you start to see all those sales. You're like, hey, oh, we need a new sofa. Sure, yeah, okay, we can buy that. Well, let's go on a vacation. But what are some things you can do with your refund that might make the most sense?
Well, a great place to start is with your emergency fund. We like to see about 6 months to a year's worth of your fixed expenses in that rainy day, something's happened and I need money fund. And that's for everyone. For those who are just starting out and building their emergency fund, or even a retiree on fixed income, it's important to have that cash, that liquid emergency fund. So that's one place to start. Another great option is if you have high interest rate debt, maybe you've accumulated some credit card debt, or you got that new car loan when interest rates were at 7, 8%. Putting your refund towards that debt can help you pay it down a little more quickly, and hopefully a little less interest will accrue over time.
When your team is in here, we talk a lot about paying down that debt. That's probably the first step. Contributions, let's talk about those. 529s, Roths, that's another thing that the refunds can be used for.
Yeah, a refund is a good way to get a little extra contribution for those accounts that are normally funded from your regular cash flow. So, Joe, let's imagine I'm a retiree. I've got a long ways to go.
Oh, yeah.
But let's imagine that I'm a retiree and I'm also a grandparent and I'm doing pretty well in retirement. That's all set up. And I really, really want to help pay for my grandkids' college education. I could just take that refund, put it right into a 529 plan for them, maybe even get a little state deduction for myself. Or Joe, suppose that you usually contribute some amount to your Roth IRA each year, but you don't normally make the maximum contribution. You could put your refund in the Roth IRA and help reach that maximum. And if a person has met some of those funding goals already, they could just put in their taxable account and invest it. And that would be a good use of the refund too.
It is fun to see a little extra money going into those plans. Maybe you don't tell the kids about it, though. They don't need to know about that extra stuff. And what about some fun ways to spend it, though? I mean, we've talked about some smart ways. Let's say you did all the smart things. How can you have some fun with it?
Yeah, actually, that's probably what comes to mind for most people is they're thinking, now I have a little extra money to spend. It's important to remember, though, a refund is just one-time money. It's not a sure thing, and it's not certain that it'll be there for you each year. So it's best used for those one-time expenses. You probably don't want to use it to get that new puppy your kids have been asking for. But a refund can help you with those larger expenses like a new car, home repairs. Maybe you need a new roof this summer. And for some of my friends, I know they're planning to use it toward their weddings. And for those really large refunds, there's another rule of thumb you can consider. Let's say you get a $5,000 refund. Maybe take 10% of it and do something fun. But take that remaining 90% and do something wise with that portion.
And we can certainly help you do something wise with it with all the strategies that are available that maybe you don't know about. Financial planning specialist Rebecca Posig is one of the people that can help clients here at Annex Wealth Management. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click that Get Started button at annexwealth.com.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, we've had several in-person events at multiple locations this month, so thank you if you've joined us. If not, a couple of good ones still coming up. Everything from our Women in Wealth events on what you need to know about divorce to getting ahead of memory changes and what families should know. That's a very important one. Go to annexwealth.com, click the events tab, and that'll set up your reminder. Chief Economic Strategist Dr. Brian Jacobson is here. Energy weirdness hitting the consumer story again. We're seeing negative energy prices in the pockets of the market, especially gas, because supply is overwhelming infrastructure.
Yeah, so this is kind of interesting. People might be like, what, negative prices? All I'm seeing at the pump, right, gasoline, are these positive prices moving higher. Wow. But interestingly, in some parts of the country, especially in the Texas area, when they are extracting oil from the ground, often there's natural gas associated with it. So it's very profitable at these higher prices to pump more oil. But there's so much of the natural gas that in some parts of the country, they're actually paying people to take the natural gas. So it's a negative price. So negative energy or
gas prices. Cost going out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're paying somebody to take it away. So they're making more money on the oil, even if they're losing money on the natural gas. And in that market, it's really fascinating because instead of paying somebody to take it in terms of get it in your pipeline, is they might want to flare it. They start it on fire, but they have to get permission to do that. So it's a really interesting thing as far as with high oil prices in some parts have led to negative natural gas prices. It's not all over the place, but it just shows some of the weirdness that can take place in the markets.
It's like a big rabbit hole.
It's always fun to find out how these things are connected, because then you think about natural gas. Sometimes one of the byproducts, they can use it to create like nitrogen in terms of fertilizer, so it can affect those markets as well. And that's part of what makes the markets and economics so exciting.
Oil and energy. Now, what kind of companies can we look at right now that we might not have a couple of months ago?
Yeah, so that's one of the areas, if you look at the markets, that has done really well so far have been the energy stocks. But it can be all across the board. Some of them are the ones who do the refining. Some of them are the ones who do the extraction. There are also those who do the servicing of those different wells. There's also then the pipelines. So there's this whole infrastructure and ecosystem. So when you talk about investing in energy, it really is a matter of, well, what part are you investing in, which specific companies? All sorts of interesting opportunities.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Comprehensive Wealth, Annex Private Client, and Annex Ignite. 9 total locations. And another reminder, because these events are popular, our Brookfield headquarters has another Women in Wealth live event coming up on April 18th. What women need to know about divorce from 8 until noon. Empowering women to make the best decisions during a difficult time. Click events at annexwealth.com. Join us on April 18th. And don't forget to check out our Women in Wealth podcast. Time for news. Let's go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center with Elizabeth Linton.
Planning and investing insight from a fee-only fiduciary. You're listening to Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Don't forget to check out the Learning Center at annexwealth.com. Some great downloads. 7 retirement planning mistakes you make in your 50s. Also, the tax return review guide if you're about to file or if you've already filed. And our new Women in Wealth page is up at annexwealth.com, including the new Women in Wealth podcast with special guests and strategies to empower women and gain greater confidence. And some travel issues right now. Brian, you just got back from a great trip. And did you see lines, a lot of lines at TSA, or was that okay?
So it was really interesting because where we were flying out of, we connected through Atlanta and we were already through security because we were connecting. But that's apparently where most of those lines were. And not too surprising because obviously with the TSA agents, they weren't getting paid. So now President Trump said that he's going to sign the executive order to make sure that they do get paid, which is probably pretty good timing because I believe a lot of public schools maybe are going into spring break. Some other schools, you know, we're just getting done with it. But it has been chaos. We thankfully did not experience the delays at the security checkpoints. We ended up experiencing more of the delays that were related to like equipment failures. So it's like, oh, you're connecting somewhere. You suddenly get a notification that your plane is delayed 90 minutes because they have to swap out the plane, or because there was a delay, they have to swap out the crew. true. So for us, the issue wasn't so much that it was the security. It was more just some of the chaos behind the scenes, and which was really frustrating.
Well, and when you're on the plane, too, you start wondering if they're going to make up the costs elsewhere, too, with all the high oil prices. Are we going to be paying more for tickets and beverages?
I think we're already seeing that, because I always like monitoring that, you know, in terms of what are the costs of flights, where it does look like they're increasing the cost. The CEO of United Airlines said that he expects that they're going to be able to hike their fares by about 20%, right? It's a rather big move higher. And we've already seen back in January. So in the consumer price inflation data that we get, there's a line item where it talks about the cost of travel. It says airfares. And that was like a 2% jump in that 1 month. So we could see airfares move higher because of the cost of fuel. My question then is, will people balk at that? Because they can want to hike the prices, but will people actually pay it? And so what we did was take a look at what are the different classes that you can really fly in, right? You might have like economy basic, so it's not refundable. Then you can have economy. Then you can have like this comfort plus, business class, first class. When you look across there, it seems like most of the increase in the fares has been more like the business class and higher. And I mean, some of those numbers, it's like, wow, that you could fly a family of 10 with one of those tickets. Yeah. And so Delta, they were saying that they're still seeing very strong demand, but mostly from the corporate travelers. So the consumer, maybe they cut back, but corporate travel, people are a little bit less price sensitive there. That seems to, as they said, it's some insatiable demand for travel.
And rental cars, too. They're seeing a lot of increases as well.
They have, yeah. Hertz, Avis, their stock prices, those shot up after they announced that there was a big increase in website traffic. Because what they're finding is that if you get frustrated at the airport, you're kind of stuck there. Maybe you drive instead. You rent a car to get to a different airport, to a smaller one. Somebody's benefiting from this, that's for sure.
Absolutely. We'll keep an eye on it. If you have a question, there is an Ask Annex button right at the top of the page at annexwealth.com. The answers to those questions are on our social media. If you missed some of our TV and radio appearances during the week, by the way, talking about how we're helping clients adjust to current market conditions, that's also where you can see and hear clips from those appearances. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Money Talk is straight talk from a local fee-only fiduciary. It's time to know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Well, weddings are more expensive than ever. All the prices are going up. A lot of couples are paying the bill themselves. But a meaningful wedding does not have to come at the cost of future dreams like buying a home or starting a family. And today we're talking with Tom Burkholz, Manager of Financial Planning at Annex Wealth Management, about how couples can plan a wedding that celebrates the day being special and the love without creating money stress. And Tom, you've seen a lot of this firsthand because you're getting married soon.
I sure am, Joe.
Yeah, it's good to have you on the show. And, you know, a lot of couples, maybe yourselves, feel pressure to spend big on their wedding. So how do they decide? How do they have that balance about what matters most to them versus really creating a special day, not only for themselves, but also pressure to entertain the guests?
Yeah, I think a lot of couples feel pressure to spend big on their wedding because, frankly, that's just what things cost now. Because when you start calling these venues and photographers and caterers and whatnot, you may have a certain figure in mind, and then they quote you something much higher than expected, and then you start itemizing everything out, and before you know it, you're over $30,000 in like a snap.
And then you tell them that you work in finance, and you say, hey, I know what the real numbers are here. Give me a good number.
Right, and everything's an opportunity cost. Like, okay, $30,000 invested over time. Obviously, that's going to be worth a lot of money. So wedding planning really is just one big cost-benefit analysis. You are basically picking and choosing things that you want in the wedding versus things that you can live without.
And how can thinking about long-term goals like a home or children help couples like yourself set a more realistic wedding budget and maybe finding that balance to still make the day special?
Yeah, because young people have reasonable goals. They want to buy a house. They want to have a car. They want to have a wedding. Like, these are not unrealistic expectations. It's difficult. It's a big challenge, I think, to have everything you want in a wedding, but also get your dream house, but also get your car that you want and all those types of things. So I think what we're seeing now is that families are starting to realize this, and especially parents and grandparents are stepping in and starting to help the younger generation with their weddings because they literally can't afford it, or
alternatively, some people are just opting without the wedding or running to the courthouse and just saying, I'd rather have a house.
And at some point, maybe they'll celebrate it, but that comes down to the must-haves versus the nice-to-haves. What about an example of how that mindset can really save you a lot of money?
I think a really helpful exercise is literally just draw a line down the middle of a page. On one side, write your must-haves. On the other, write your nice-to-haves. And then just focus on your must-haves and find ways where you can look for savings. There's so many different levers you can pull when it comes to wedding planning. If your photographer is going to come out for the day, maybe they come out for two less hours, and that could lead to substantial savings.
And when you're looking at some of these costs, going through the grocery checkout aisle and you see the pictures of the weddings and all the wonderful venues, do you think sometimes maybe it's okay to put the deposit down on it and then save? Because you have to plan so far in advance for some of these venues. Are there like smart short-term savings plans that might make sense over the course of a year while you're kind of waiting for the day?
Yeah, with a short-term upcoming expense like this, usually you want something in cash or high-yield savings account, because this is not the time to be invested into the market with your wedding down payment or anything like that, because what if the market goes down 10 or 20%? So, I mean, you got to just stay simple when it comes to wedding planning and budgeting.
Wedding planning is often the first big money talk for couples. How can this process actually show them how to plan and save, maybe transition into big purchases in the future?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of spreadsheets. That may not surprise you, but especially when it comes to wedding planning, just literally making a spreadsheet and sitting down with your fiance and going line by line, putting the photographer, videographer, venue, caterer, like all the things you need and adding it up. And it's a nice exercise to think about and start talking about money, and this can all translate to cars or homes or things like that.
If somebody has a wedding in their family coming up right now, or maybe soon, maybe somebody's going to pop the question and they're thinking, well, I want to call Annex Wealth Management. Now, we want to be clear, we're not wedding planners, but we are there to help you come up with a plan to save for something like this. What would be maybe one of the first action steps if parents or grandparents or a young couple comes into Annex Wealth Management and says, we would like to help start saving for something like this?
Yeah, one of the first things is you create a financial plan. You make sure that your own retirement is in check before you think about paying for weddings for your kids or anything like that. But if your situation, if your facts and circumstances, and you can afford to gift money potentially to a loved one, like a child, we could run that what if scenario. And we could say, what if you gift X amount of money? And then what account should you take it from? And then what are the taxes associated with that?
Yeah, because a lot of that stuff is on a certain timeline. And sometimes it makes sense to take it from here and then maybe a little over here. So maybe some different diversification as far as how you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, there's definitely efficient ways to gift money. So if you're thinking about it, it's definitely good to just check with a financial planner and run the scenario.
We love to show people the numbers and really see where they're at. It's one of the many things we can do here. Talk with an expert like Tom Burkholz, manager of financial planning at Annex Wealth Management. Hey, congratulations on the wedding.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click that Get Started button at annexwealth.com.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Glad you're here with us on Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. This is also a podcast on demand, so you can get this episode right at the top of the hour, as soon as the show's over, wherever you get your podcasts, along with our other podcasts, too. And we build content every day to help you make informed decisions. The Annex LinkedIn page and YouTube pages have the latest financial trends, strategies that could apply to you, and the events that we have coming up. It's going to be another busy month coming up in April. The Axiom, that is our newsletter with our Week in Review video from this show in your email on Sunday morning. Just search Annex Axiom. The other podcasts like The Wealthiest, Ideas, Strategies, and Decisions of the Wealthy in America, and SWOT Podcast, Strengths, Weaknesses, Opportunities, and Threats of the Current Market, with a new episode first thing Monday morning. And our new Women in Wealth podcast, featuring special guests helping to empower women of all ages through genuine conversations. Chief Economic Strategist Dr. Brian Jacobson is here, and CEO of Annex, Dave Spano.
Thanks, Joe. Are you having a good time doing that Women in Wealth? I mean, that is an outstanding podcast.
Oh, we've had so many great leaders from the community and from all over on that podcast. It's, you know, uncovering so many things to help empower women to make informed decisions.
And I sent you an email earlier this week about women in the workplace.
Yep.
Today, the percentage of workers today is higher for women than it is to men, and that's for the first time.
And they're in charge of more wealth, too.
No question about it, especially in my house. I can tell you that for sure.
Same.
Exactly. All right. A lot has been happening, and I think the administration's hope that this would be a shorter-term conflict, it continues to get kicked down the road. So the idea that this could end in April is still high. However, the market is watching this very closely. You can see the bond markets has a concern, and there's these thing called the bond market vigilantes. They put pressure on a lot of things, including inflation and the cost for people to borrow. So, Brian, this really could stretch into April, and these delays, rather than attacks, are probably good, but either way, we'd like to see a resolution.
Yeah, I think that the market, you'd get that collective sigh of relief because we have seen signs of that. Like last week, it started off actually a fairly positive day because of the little brief reprieve that President Trump had given Iran, saying that he wasn't going to attack the energy infrastructure. Thursday evening, after the markets closed, he said that he was extending that deadline by about 10 days. And I thought that the market was going to get another sign of relief. But I think there's too much skepticism now, because the last time that there was this brief pause, actually, that's when the United States and Israel began to attack Iran, a lot of their military sites there especially. So I think that this is one of those things where it's a geopolitical event that requires us not to overreact to it and overthink that we know what's going on while the leader doesn't, right?
Yeah.
So it used to be called like Monday morning quarterbacking, but it feels like more this is like before the fact, right? And
right.
So it's more like Saturday evening quarterbacking as to what should happen. But we just kind of, I think, have to ride through it.
So we try to give folks a dispassionate review of what's happening, Brian. And so if we go through that process and we say there's some really good things, and these are challenges, these are short-term challenges, but most importantly, do we have economic growth? Well, we're expected to have higher GDP this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're expected to have profit growth margins, and sentiment is something we're watching because it is deteriorating a little bit.
It is, and it's showing up in a variety of different forms. So sentiment, you can get it from like consumer sentiment surveys, and we did see a big move lower in the March consumer sentiment survey from the University of Michigan. Interestingly, when we dug into the details, most of that was due to a drop in sentiment of the middle to higher income earners. Because if you think about the consumer spending that takes place, a lot of it is, you know, about 40% comes from the top 20%, but you have that wealth effect.
Exactly.
And when you get a decline in the stock market, people don't feel as wealthy. About 40% of U.S. household wealth is tied up in the stock market somehow. And so if you don't feel as wealthy, plus you're seeing the higher gasoline prices, that was one of the most interesting things, is it was really chiseling away at the sentiment of the higher income earners. Now that can reverse course, of course, right? If we suddenly see some sort of reduction in volatility, the fear gauge, the VIX, you had mentioned that at the top of the show about how elevated that has become, right? That's a market pricing of kind of the uncertainty that's out there. What is the range of outcomes? And so when that number goes higher, it just says, wow, there's a wider range of outcomes. People are less confident about, is it up, is it down, or where's it going to go?
And a good wealth management firm helps you navigate that. And what I mean by that is there are probably opportunities. I have to be careful with compliance coming and yelling at me, but there are opportunities that are starting to appear. Some of these areas are oversold, and this is the time to make some modifications.
It is, because when prices go down, but your view of the fundamentals don't change that much, right? That means that wherever the price went down, now suddenly you can buy those fundamentals at a lower price. And the key thing is to know whether or not, okay, the market price going lower, is that reflecting a change in the fundamentals, or is that just reflecting a change in the sentiment? And oftentimes in these big geopolitical events, the technical way that people talk about it is correlations go to one. So everything kind of moves together. People throw out the proverbial baby with the bathwater. And that's one of the things that we're evaluating on an ongoing basis is, are there places where we think that the fundamentals are better than what might be priced in? And can you get something that maybe you thought was at a fair value at a more attractive price?
And so what we do, folks, if you bring in your current holdings, we check your risk tolerance, we go through this process, but then we do a really deep x-ray and saying, why is this in your portfolio? Is it the right portfolio construction that you have? All of these things come together, and we tie together with our estate planning lawyers on staff. our CPAs that are on staff and our really qualified financial planners.
Yeah, we want the portfolio to support the plan. In a lot of other firms, they are really going to focus more on the investment management part. And that is, I think, kind of dangerous. People go for performance. And obviously, we want to perform well. We want the portfolios to perform well. But it's also about what is the performance in support of the plan? Is it appropriate for your also personality, your psychology? And that's where the risk capacity and risk tolerance comes into play. And so as long as you put those pieces together, right, the tax planning, the retirement planning, the estate planning, then the investment planning, that's really where you can, I think, see where the portfolio can help support the plan as opposed to derailing some of the plans.
And we do it all in-house right here.
That's right.
Another episode of Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. The podcast is ready right now on the radio station website, or you just search Annex Money Talk. For Dave Spano and Dr. Brian Jacobson, I'm Joe Kraus. Have a great week. Join us again next Saturday at 10 a.m. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Advice and opinions expressed during Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, are solely that of the hosts or guests of Annex Wealth Management and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.